Blog Talk Radio.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Vince Young scores.
The dreams, all the hopes for the national championship come down to this play. Young from the shotgun, back to throw. Vince looks, under pressure. He'll tuck it in and run. Vince to the five. Young, touchdown Texas. Touchdown Vince Young. He's done it again. Vince Young has given the Longhorns the lead with 19 seconds to play in the game.
This is an incredible individual effort for Vince Young.
How about this play? Trying to get a receiver open in the end zone. Gets pressure, feels it, sees the corner of the end zone. And how about another walk-in touchdown for Vince Young?
All right, Longhorn Nation, welcome to another Wednesday edition of the Orange Report. Hope everybody is having a great week so far, and I'm hoping this Saturday is going to give us much better results than what we saw last Saturday. We're going to break down what went wrong at Oklahoma State, and here in just a few minutes, joining the Orange Report is our good friend Alan Kinney from BlatantHomerism.com. He's going to give us the scoop on what we can expect from the Oklahoma Sooners this Saturday. I'm going to talk about it with him, but obviously the most recent news, their big defensive tackle, Walker, is out this week. I think that's a huge blow for the Sooners, so we're going to talk about that with Alan. We're going to find out about Baker Mayfield's injury. I think they've also got a linebacker out, so we're going to get into Red River Shootout, Red River Rivalry, Red River Showdown, whatever you want to call it, here in just a minute. So without further ado, it looks like Alan is on the line. So as always, glad to have you, Alan. Welcome back to the Orange Report.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Happy to be here.
Well, good. Well, the Sooner season has looked a lot like my Longhorn season. Some decent wins and some pretty ugly losses. I guess I'll start with the news I was just kind of introing there. Obviously, the big defensive tackle, looks like he's a no-go for y'all this week. So I don't never like injuries, but I think that's advantage Longhorns with our running game. So I guess that's a blow to y'all this week.
Charles Walker going down is certainly a blow. You know, he's a guy that has been one of their more consistent defenders, you know, when he's been able to stay on the field the past couple of years. You know, he's been dealing with a couple kind of lingering issues injury-wise, but this is, Bob Stoops said it was due to concussion, which is also what kept him out of the Orange Bowl last year, and that was a real blow to Oklahoma back then, too, against Clemson's running game. So, he's probably, in my opinion, their best run defender on the defensive line, so losing him certainly hurts.
Well, yeah, the Sooners obviously had some tough games opening against Houston, and then obviously Ohio State. So the Sooners have not dodged anybody. But how would you grade their season so far? I mean, I know expectations were extremely high. I was of the belief they were too high. I didn't think y'all were a top 10 team opening the season, but that was just my take. So I guess how would you grade the season at this point?
Well, you know, before the season started, I didn't really see Oklahoma as a playoff type team either. You know, I think I had them pegged to go 10-2, which probably would have had them winning the Big 12. It's hard putting a letter grade on it, man, like a C, I guess. I mean, I thought that getting the win the way they did at TCU was actually. A solid win for this team simply because, the defense gave up a ton of yards and a ton of points. That was the kind of game where they got down 21-7 early, and
yep.
Body language looked bad, and I felt like the way that they came back and really dropped the hammer on for two quarters was that was a good sign, I think, going forward. But, you know, the way that they played against Houston, you know, I thought that I was, you know, kind of I was disappointed more so in the way that Baker Mayfield played more than anyone else. And then, of course, you know, losing that game the way they did to Ohio State, I mean, you know, they were never really, you know, I think from after about the first quarter on, really never made like a solid threat, you know, to really put any, you know, get back into the game. That was disappointing. So, you know, I mean, there's been some good, some bad. I can't say I've been entirely surprised, you know, but, you know, the other thing about it, too, though, is they're really getting hit with injuries right now.
Yeah, the injury bug is definitely has started to hit y'all for sure. You know, I was talking, you know, kind of thinking earlier, you know, I've been attending this game, I you know, probably more, way more than half my life, and obviously I've seen everyone that Stoops has coached and been there. And what I have found fascinating with the Stoops coach team in the rivalry game is, as a Texas fan, I'm always watching on how fast OU starts. I mean, historically, it's been pretty known if y'all come out fast and we get an early turnover, man, under Mac Brown, you know, and even Charlie's first year, man, it just seems to snowball pretty quick. Now, when we've had really good teams with Vince Young and they won, you know, it's worked that way. But games that like last year that kind of go back and forth, you know, both teams are kind of sluggish. So, you know, I guess I'm expecting from my standpoint for a fast OU start, obviously with y'all's offense attacking our just the worst defense in Texas history right now. I mean, Bob's probably got to be licking his chops watching film on our defense. So how do you think Mayfield and the offense is really going to attack our defense Saturday?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, Texas, looking at it, you know, obviously there are a lot of problems on the back end and the secondary. You know, there are issues with tackling. And, you know, I mean, from what I can tell, though, the defensive line, while not being full of necessarily heralded standouts, is actually playing really well. You know, and so I think that what you'll be looking for is Oklahoma trying to get the ball out on the edges a little bit early, you know, kind of feeling its way on the perimeter there, you know, with some screens, some quick hitters, you know, forcing Texas to try to tackle a lot of the playmakers that Oklahoma has offensively in space. You know, there'll be guys like D.D. Westbrook. You know, they'll probably line up Joe Mixon some in the slot or motion him out of the backfield, you know, trying to see how Texas will defend him, what, you know, if they draw one-on-one coverage type looks. So, you know, I think that's it. And I wouldn't be surprised also to see Oklahoma take a deep shot or two early, try to loosen up the defense a little bit, and then go back to working underneath.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, you know, Strong is you know, basically the DC now. You know, I've been under the belief it's been his defense anyway. He's a defensive coach, so, I mean, from my perspective, I just have a hard time believing that he has just been sitting there and not doing anything, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's going to be the main guy. I mean, he's been the main guy, in my opinion. I mean, he's a defensive coach, and, you know, it's just perplexing, and I'm going to do a whole segment when I'm with you on that. I've got lots of, I guess, hot takes on that don't sit real well with me. You know, just the whole scenario, it just doesn't add up for me. But, you know, that's a different discussion. Well, how about defensively? Obviously, our offense is improved. If there is a positive right now with the team, Gilbert has been a success. Shane Bouchel is a true freshman, is playing pretty well. I think our running backs are good. So y'all's defense, again, like you said, at TCU struggled. I feel fairly confident we're going to be able to put some points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too. That's kind of the way I'm looking at this game going in. I mean, I could see both teams actually scoring quite a bit. You know, looking at it, Oklahoma has one quarterback position locked down tight with Jordan Thomas, who's, you know, a really, really strong cornerback, good cover guy. The problem is for Oklahoma so far is the position across from him. They've had kind of a revolving door there with Dakota Austin, who was, you know, a senior guy that started the year off in that spot and lost the job pretty quickly. They've also had a true freshman then who was the next man up in Parrish Cobb, who's got a lot of promise. This is a guy that was really, really highly touted, well-regarded in recruiting circles. He was out last week with an injury, though. He's back this week, so I would not be surprised to see him get quite a bit of time. And then also, a guy that they've shifted over from offense actually to defense in Micaiah Quick. He's a guy that came to OU as a, he was classified as an athlete. And I think that the original idea was play him at receiver. If he had started at cornerback and carried it out for all 3 years, I think he would have been in really good shape right now. You know, as it is, he's still kind of learning the position. But, he was really hobbled by cramps last week. And I think that caught up to him in the fourth quarter. He was having a hard time staying with some of TCU's burners out there on the far edge. I'm not sure if they'll start Cobb or Quick this week, but I would imagine those two guys will see most of the time. That's where Texas can probably do some damage. Now, what's Oklahoma been doing this week to try to give that guy a little help or shore that position up? That's still to be seen. Texas's running game certainly worries me because they've got two, big thumping backs there. I know that Chris Warren's probably out, but Dante Foreman is a guy that obviously gave him trouble last year, and he started off the season very well. And I thought that Porter ran really well last week too, in the limited action that he got. I think that also, that package that they run, the 18-wheeler package with swoops, is the kind of package that could give Oklahoma trouble because, you got a big, burly quarterback who can, drag guys for a couple extra yards and whatnot. I wouldn't be surprised if Gilbert went to that a little bit more because that really seems to kind of hit Oklahoma where it hurts, so to speak, with their lack of depth up front right now and, kind of undersized guys that are playing in there right now.
Yeah, the 18-wheeler package is, I have watched just film after film after film on it, and, it looks like it's easy to stop, but, even though swoops may not just have the most accurate or the best arm, the threat is always there. So you just can't walk up those safeties. And when you do, and also too, he's deceivingly fast. Like you said, his first one or two step may take him a little bit, but once he gets burling on the zone read, we run it out of the zone read. And then what I've noticed what Gilbert's doing with it this year is there's a lot of misdirection. He's pulling guards different ways. The backs are going different ways. So the safeties and the linebackers are all stepping and he's got about four different reads and I don't know that this is just my opinion. It looks like on any of them given plays that the offensive line blocks about the same as if he throws it or he runs it. So you really can't get a read on them. So I think he has an option to throw it when he does the two or three fakes. And if he looks up and sees a guy running, he's going to chuck it to him. So it's just the craziest thing how something can so simple has turned in to be a magnificent weapon that we have. Because I've watched it over and over. Say, okay, I bring my outside linebacker here, I'd slide this defensive tackle over, and then I go, no, that ain't going to work because he's going to pull. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Obviously we stole some of that from y'all when Norville came over, and Gilbert has just obviously added to it. Let me shift gears here. Let's talk about our head coaches. Obviously, Charlie Strong's seat is scorching about right now. Bob Stoops has had a tremendous amount of success there. But big-time college football, Oklahoma, y'all's fans are like our fans. They expect to win. What kind of pushback is he getting at this point?
I've been coming on the show now for a couple of years. It's kind of the same thing over and over. Bob Stoops has been there for 18 years. In this day and age, that is, a lifetime in coaching. I think that part of any kind of unrest, I think has to do kind of with that is seeing, the same faces and hearing kind of the same, kind of go-to catchphrases and whatnot. I don't you'll hear plenty of message board rambling about Stoops, or people who hit me up on Twitter complain about him. But I think that his job is very, very safe, very, very secure.
Yeah.
With the administration. Now, if things keep going this way with the defense, I mean, a lot of people, I think that, feel like that has been the one area, I mean, Bob brought his brother Mike back. That, states have, in a lot of cases, have nepotism laws, for a reason, because of kind of these tricky situations these create. I mean, I think that Mike, in a lot of ways, has paid for mistakes that OU was making in recruiting before he got there, mistakes that Bob was making with his staff. But, it's kind of beyond the point now where those kinds of excuses should hold up anymore. So the real thing I think to watch going forward is going to be how they address that and, what's on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, if things don't improve defensively for Oklahoma, I wouldn't be surprised to see Mike Stoops at the end of the year find a different job, step down. I mean, to take that off of Bob, to take that kind of onus off of him, because otherwise, I mean, the idea of firing your brother, that's certainly a touchy one.
Yeah, that makes for a tough Christmas dinner, doesn't it? I mean, that dinner table conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Strong, and I'm just going to tell you. I mean, don't sugarcoat it, because you're on a Texas podcast, because I'm getting ready to unload, and I'm probably getting ready to get killed. Well, don't watch my mentions in about 30 minutes, because it's not going to be pretty, I'm sure. So, and I've been a Strong supporter. Now, have I been critical at times when I've seen things that I disagree? Absolutely, but I haven't officially said this yet, so I'll go ahead and do it now. My mentions are probably getting ready to go insane. I'm going to have to get off tweet deck. But I am 100% as of after the Oklahoma State game off the Charlie Strong wagon. I was barely hanging on. Believe it or not, on Orange Bloods and, inside all of the Texas boards, I was actually starting to get called a Charlie Strong apologist, because – I kept telling people the roster was sorry. I went through the whole dialogue. But I'm not going to, I don't want to influence you. But I guess, what is your impression of Strong at this point?
Well, I try not to get too caught up in I like this guy or I don't like this guy, because I don't know these people. But
right.
Strong is a guy that I've rooted for, ever really since he got the Louisville job. He paid his dues for a long time on the assistant, coaching trail, longer than he should have, and I have no doubt that in some way race influenced that. The fact that, he built the Louisville program up, I thought it was very cool to see him get a shot at Texas, because it was kind of like seeing a guy who, toiled and did things, and really worked his way up through the ranks to get that shot. I view his whole, kind of get tough disciplinary stuff in a lot of ways to be somewhat hypocritical or counterproductive, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that I don't think that he's necessarily been insincere about anything. I mean, I honestly do think that that's what he believes in. And, that part, you can't fault him for that. I've also felt like, from the beginning, Texas is in, such a unique animal in the sense that you've got so many cooks in the kitchen, so many boosters who have opinions. And it did feel like from the start that they never really – got on board with him. So again, I was recruiting for him I was rooting for him to, prove those guys wrong, because I mean, so many of those gas bags, like you hear so much of that. It's just, I had questions from the beginning though, about how he went about doing things, in terms of on the field. I've never really seen from his standpoint, a commitment to a vision of the program. I think that he came in wanting to do things one way, and it was the way that he's coached for a long time. And I'm not sure if he ever really, you know, I mean, at 1 year trying to do more of a pro-style, downhill, physical offense, you know, he decided to go spread, but he never really seemed to need to even necessarily buy into it. I mean, even the transition to Sterling Gilbert and more of this Baylor's type offense is, you know, gone fairly well, but again, you hear him talk about it, and it's just not something that I necessarily felt like he ever had a lot of enthusiasm for. And you have to manage your program a different way, too, when you commit to go to that style. And, again, that's not something that I'm sure if he's necessarily been prepared for. In a lot of ways, it just feels like it's kind of an odd fit. You know, he might be better off at a place, you know, maybe more in the southeast, kind of where he's, you know, somewhere in, you know, Florida, somewhere in there, you know, like that Miami job would have been perfect for him, I think. But, you know, it just seems like at this point, you know, in the middle of the third year, it's just not clicking.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's just a fit thing. I'm like you. I think he's and I haven't met him. Well, I take that back. I met him at an event. I took a picture with him and shook his hand. I mean, what does that mean? So, yeah, I guess technically I've met him, but I don't know him. Let me know. But, you know, I guess on the surface, you know, talking to people that do, I guess, I mean, he, you know, seems like a good man. He has, you know, stands for something. He's good for the young men. There's no doubt about it. The players love him. Parents love him. He does a lot of positives, but like you say, there's just something missing there that it's just not. And for me is it's the inconsistency. We can come out and look really good, and it's like we get lackadaisical for a week of practice, and we're making the same mistakes over. It's just that attention to detail in the overall game management of the game, and then also like you just said, the decisions with the staff. I mean, here we are, you know, Bedford's still on staff, but, I mean, basically if Strong is back next year, I mean, he's not going to keep Bedford and Jennings, and so he's probably, you know, one of them are going to be fired, probably Bedford or one of them or both. So basically, Gene Mary, the linebacker coach, is truly the only one on the staff in the same role that what they were hired with in 3 years. That's just, I mean, how often do you see that? None. So at some point, the common denominator of all the issues is Strong. And then that's not to say, like I just said, that he does a lot of things right, but the things that he does wrong is just killing him right now. So that's obviously what I'm going to get into here in a minute. Well, let me ask you this. Let me put you on the spot. Well, I'll tell you what, let me go ahead. I got a few minutes. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Let's talk about the state of the Big 12 a little bit. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Overall, the Big 12 is awful compared to everybody else. You know, obviously, y'all's 2017 class is looking pretty good, and I think that's why y'all have taken a little bit of a step back, is y'all had some down recruiting years, and uh-huh. Obviously we did. That's, you know, the state that we're in. So I think recruiting has affected us, you, and some other teams. But, I mean, what is wrong with the Big 12? Is it maybe the spread offenses are really affecting us, or is it just recruiting? I mean, I can't figure it out, but we're just not as good as a whole anymore as we should be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of it is really just the SEC kind of invading Texas, which has always been, you know, the Big 12's breadbasket. And now, you know, people talk about the rise of TCU or Baylor or what have you, but I think it's more, I mean, A&M obviously raised its recruiting profile across the state. But also, you know, you're getting more schools coming in there, more like Ole Miss or, you know, I guess, you know, Alabama coming in there. You know, LSU's always kind of, you know, poached around there in Houston, but probably taken up an even, you know, greater foothold there. I think that's hurt it a lot. And so, you know, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I don't know necessarily if it's used as a negative recruiting point, oh, well, they play in the Big 12, so who cares? But it's certainly not a brand necessarily that you can take on the road in recruiting and sell the way you can with the SEC. You know, I mean, and so, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. And, that and a lot of these programs aren't necessarily marquee names out there. You know, I mean, Iowa State or Kansas State. I mean, these are in many ways, Kansas State's had solid teams for a while. I mean, very good program, but these aren't exactly, an Ohio State or, Florida or Georgia or, an Alabama. I mean, so it's harder, I think, to kind of ramp up the enthusiasm and generate the same kind of, national, I guess, just buzz and attention on the league. I think that's been a lot of the problem. But, I mean, like, fundamentally the problem is that the structure, the league is never really, I don't know, it's never, you look at the other conferences, the way that they pretty much go all in when it comes to the media deals, they all, kind of coalesce behind their commissioners. That's never really been the Big 12 style, and part of that has to do, I think, with the fact that they have, such a skew between, I think, the big dogs and the rest of the league. So, there's just a lot of kind of issues there that add up to a lot of dysfunction, and ends up showing up on the field, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a multitude of issues and several you mentioned, but one that I've started to hone in on, and I can't quantify this by percentage or data. It's just, my observation is if you go walk around the halls of many of your big high schools now in the state of Texas, one, the admissions getting into Texas as a freshman has become harder. Even A&M has gotten harder, Baylor, TCU. So the number of seats available has affected it. So so I think in the three schools that I can really think of, Ole Miss, Bama, Mississippi State are probably the three. There's some others in the SEC, but those three schools have done an outstanding job. And I like I said, I don't know if because they're doing this to also increase their exposure for future athletes or whatever, but they have made a concerted effort from an academic standpoint to come down into most of all the big high school recruiting events for academic people, not athletic, mm-hmm. and to pull students in. I know of several students, a ton, that were considering going to Texas, A&M, different places, and Alabama, the Ole Misses, the Mississippi State stepped up and gave them $50,000, $80,000 scholarships to go. So what I'm saying is 10, 15 years ago, you weren't seeing freshmen and sophomores walking around the halls with an Alabama or an Ole Miss or a Mississippi State shirt. So it's becoming more prevalent. One, obviously, the exposure of social media and the athletic part, but now they're making a concerted effort to really get down here and recruit. So you're a football player. You're already aware of Alabama or Ole Miss or Mississippi State because of your athletic ability. Now you see your buddy who's the class president wearing an Ole Miss shirt. You start thinking, So I just think the perception has changed, and it's now an alternative for a lot of people to go to. And I see that a lot. I mean, I'm in high schools an awful lot because of my full-time profession working with youth. And I'm telling you, I have seen a dramatic increase in the amount of shirts. Now, of course, a lot of it is people follow winners and everything, but I don't just say it. If I see a kid in an Ole Miss shirt or something, I'll ask them, hey, are you going to Ole Miss? Yeah. And so I get the sort, I just don't assume they're an Ole Miss football fan. And like I say, I can't quantify it. I don't know what the percentage is, but I know for a fact when I walk through schools now, I see a ton more shirts, but, that's a whole different conversation. So I think that is a factor. Well, let me put you on the spot. I know last year you picked Oklahoma, which was good for us because we stepped up in the game, and I'm expecting you to pick Oklahoma again, as you should. So go ahead and give me your game pick, Alan.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth about this. I see this being a real shootout. I've got Oklahoma winning 45-40. which would be obviously high and pretty crazy, but I think we might be in for that kind of game.
Yeah, and I've gone back and forth, but I've looked at since we've been with Strong. Obviously, he's got the team ready to play all 3 years. Even his first year, we got down, and we get a third down stop there. We get the ball back. You never know what happened. We were right there at the end. Obviously, last year we dominated pretty good. I expect us to come out and play, but I just don't think we're very good right now. I think there's something else going on. I don't know what it is. I'm not even going to speculate. I don't think Strong is going to fix the defense in 1 week. He had 2 weeks for Oklahoma State. And it, I mean, we had people we were lining up in cover 12s, and there ain't no such thing as a cover 12. So, I mean, it was just awful. So I usually get my game pick at the end of the night, but I'll go ahead and do it now. I've got OU 52, Texas 30. So that's where I'm at.
Whoa,
and,
really?
And,
okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I just don't feel good about it. And you know, I know everybody is everybody's tweeting and this and that. My big prediction is if the score is anywhere near that, I think Strong will be gone next Sunday. I'm not buying in. As we all know, when people start saying something's not going to happen in the vote of confidence, well, if nothing's going to happen, why do you have to say it over and over and over? If we get blown out this week, I think Strong is 100% done at the University of Texas. That's just my opinion, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I think that that's very reasonable, and I'm with you. I don't think that any of these, kind of proclamations, votes of confidence, necessarily do much to give me much reason to think that if they do get blown out, he'll keep his job through the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, Alan, I appreciate it as always. Excellent takes, good stuff. Tell all our listeners where they can read your stuff and find you on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks. I really appreciate the invitation. Yeah. And you can find me on Twitter at Blatant Homerism, and my website is blatanthomerism.com. And happy to always talk football, even with y'all Longhorns. So, please feel
free
to do
that. That's right. And I always tell people this. I go to your site, look at your stuff. I listen to your podcast. You always have excellent guests on. It's always awesome. And I always tell people, Alan's big time, I'm small time, so go check him out. So, again, I appreciate it.
No, man, it's been my pleasure, man. Thank you so much. That's awfully kind of you to invite me on, and appreciate the kind words, man.
All right, thanks, Alan. Good luck, and I will be in the Coca-Cola food court by the Greek stand where I've been for 20 straight years, with a turkey leg and a wax cup in my hand about 7:30 Saturday. So we'll see all the OU fans there as usual.
Sounds good, buddy.
Thank you. All right.
All right.
All right, Alan Kinney with BlatantHomerism.com, as usual, bringing the enemy on the Orange Report. But you know what? Alan's good people, and I always appreciate him. So, again, thanks, Alan, from Blatant Homerism. Well, I said I was going to do it. I'll probably regret it because I'll probably get some Aggie trolls on, but I am going to open the phone lines up for about 10 or 15 minutes. So if you want to come on, I'm going to bring you right in. It's live. If you troll me and start talking bullshit, you're going to be gone. But I'm going to do it because I'm just that crazy. So give me a call, 347-857-2951. If you're a Longhorn fan, give me your take. What do we need to do? I'm going to give everybody about a minute or two. We're not going to get into a long, blown-out conversation. But come in, give me your take. Is Strong the right guy? Is Strong not the right guy? Does he need more time? I'm open to all conversations and opinions. So if you want to call the Orange Report, you've been dying to call the Orange Report. Do it right now, 347-857-2951. I will take your calls for a few minutes. Open line now. I'm going to tweet it out. So get after it if you want to. And until I get a caller, and everybody's scared to call, I'm going to talk about Coach Charlie Strong. As I was telling Alan, I like Coach Strong. I like what he stands for. I get that the roster was a complete disaster. I get that we're young. I get all that. So let's just say all that's true. It's not mutually exclusive that we can also say that maybe Strong's just not a good coach. All that other stuff can be true. It's not you're on this side or that side. I mean, maybe he's just not good enough for this job. And if he is, I mean, people need to come to grips with that. I'm of the belief at this point, like I told Alan, I'm off the train. I'm ready to move on. And I'm doing it, and I say that for two reasons. I'm loyal to the University of Texas at Austin. I'm not loyal to a coach. Strong coaches come and go. Strong will come and go. Mac Brown came and went. Darryl Royal came and went. Love what they did. Guess what? They're gone. Mac Brown's at ESPN. God bless his soul. rest in peace, Darryl Wall. Makovic's gone. McWilliams, coaches come and go. The only constant is the university. And if you're a fan, the university's going to be there. The team's going to be there. Bevo's going to be there. The university is the constant. If you're an alum, your degree is constant. It doesn't change with coaches. It still says Bachelor of Science, Master's of this, PhD of that. That's what that's where my first loyalty comes. So I'm not going to get emotionally attached to a head coach, any coach. And that's the thing that drives me completely insane is people think this is the University of Charlie Strong. Like, he's getting a bad deal. The man was paid 5 years, $25 million, worth 16-19. 16-19, on pace to be the worst coach in the history of the University of Texas. As the data I tweeted out earlier, right now he is the fourth worst percentage of any coach since 1973 to present. He's at 44.8% winning percent in their first 29 games. John Blake, 31%. Curly Holman, Charlie Pell, and then Charlie Pratt. Rich Rodriguez, 44.8% at Michigan. He's a star. Mike Shula, 48.3% Alabama, fired. Derek Dooley, 48.3% at Tennessee, fired. Charlie's at 44.8% at year three. The data tells us he's not getting done. The chances of him, a coach starting with that winning percentage and now getting you to a national championship, is zero. It's almost zero. So unless Charlie Strong is the one in the history ever since the beginning of college football in time to be the outlier to get us to the promised land, it's not happening. Folks, are you willing to take the risk to continue on this path to win the one Powerball? You've got a better chance of winning the Powerball based on the data now than Charlie Strong getting your Longhorns to the national championship. Now, if that's not your goal, if winning 8, 9, 10 years is your goal, that's great. And I'm not going to try to convince anybody of any way of thinking other than me. But I'm off the train. I'm going to continue my season tickets. I'm going to go to every home game. I want us to win out as a University of Texas fan and alum. But if Charlie Strong is fired tomorrow, I'm going to buckle up and wear my burnt orange and go to the game next week at home and watch us play Iowa State. I'm just not emotionally attached to any coach. I mean, he's got $25 million. He'll be fine. But I am just not convinced. And let me ask y'all this. Can anybody honestly look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, next year, the year after, the year after, let's say he continues to recruit like he has, and we get to the playoffs. Somehow we get to the playoffs, and we play Ohio State or Alabama or even Florida State or whoever, one of these top tier, and our talent and their talent is about equal. Because we're not going to have better talent than Alabama. We're not going to have better talent than – do y'all honestly think that Charlie Strong is going to out-coach Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, hell, even Peterson at Washington? I mean, I could go – Dabo Swinney at Clemson, Gus Malzahn at Auburn, even though they're struggling. I mean, he's won some games. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I am not convinced that all things equal – yeah, we talk about Louisville. He had two winning seasons, two seasons at 500 or below. He's had three seasons at Texas, one below, two below, counting the bowl again. He's about a 500 coach for his career. It is what you see. At some point, the data is the data. So you can hang on to hope if you want to. That's great. If he's the coach next year, I'm going to root for the team. I hope he becomes the one in a million outlier and gets us to the promised land. I don't want to be the Baylor or the A&M's winning 8, 9 games. I want to be Ohio State. I want to be Alabama. And if that's not your goal, then your goal is different than my goal. We've got the biggest budget, the best recruiting base. Why don't we expect excellence from our football team? We expect excellence in our academics. Only the top 7% get in. We expect excellence in our volleyball team. They're winning. We fired our women's basketball coach. We fired Rick Barnes. We expect excellence. if it's not getting done, it's not getting done. I just don't understand why people just can't say Strong's not getting it done. Let's move on. Why such the emotional attachment? I just don't get it. Now, with that said, in my opinion, what he has to do to stay, I think the margin of error is extremely thin at this point, extremely thin. 6-6, there's no way he survives 6-6. 7-5, 85-90% chance he's gone. 8-4 is where it gets tricky. Let's say he does win 8-4, okay? So he's got to go 6-2 the last eight games. Let's say those other two losses are blowouts, and then you have six wins. 8-4, my gut feel tells me he's probably back. It could be dicey. If you go 8-4, you get blown out in the bowl game, and go 8-5, it gets a little dicey. You go 9-4, win your bowl, he's probably back if the decision's not made before then. So 8 wins seems to be the number. And I know everybody says, hey, Mike, you said 8-4. No, I was at 9-3, and I was okay with 8-4. But my asterisk beside that is we have to see improvement and not have blowouts. Okay, we've already had a blowout against Oklahoma State. And let's talk about the Oklahoma State game for a minute. Please go look through the history books and tell me a team that's had three extra points blocked in one game. I mean, I know players have to perform, but players only – if you listen to every great coach, if you run them hard, if you play hard, if your practice is harder than the game becomes easy. That's execution. It's on the players. Yes, we missed 30-plus tackles. Yes, that's on the players. But again, the coaches need to put the players in a position to tackle. Maybe we're not working on tackling. I don't know. We missed 30 tackles. I have never seen a coach – punt with 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game and you're down and not go for it. We took timeouts home. We didn't try to stop the clock. We just kind of gave up. We just basically quit on the game. What kind of message does that sound? And then let's not even talk about wanting to decline a penalty. And then the ref has to step in and says, no, you know, I mean, that's I've never seen anything like that. And then on the one play we had holding. And so instead of 2nd and 20, we make it 3rd and 10. They pick up 12 yards the next play, get a first down, they go in and score. I mean, the game management is just unbelievable. And that's the thing, it's the inconsistency. I will not be surprised if we come out and play extremely hard against OU. It would not shock me if we upset them. We've done it last year. We almost did it in his first year. But then, mark my words, remember I said this, we might come out against Iowa State and stink it up, or go up to Kansas State and lose 31-7 or something. So it's the consistency every single week. And if we go 8-4 this year, what's the expectation for 2017? Is everybody happy at 9-3, 10-3, 10-2? Oh, it's only year four. My God, his first class will be seniors. And then we get in 2018, and then what's the expectation there? Win 10 games? I mean, how far does the rabbit hole go? I think his peak, and this is the thing, everybody's saying 8-4 is showing improvement in this shift conference? Are you serious? Tell me, I mean, my God, Iowa State's 0-4. TCU looks horrible. Oklahoma has been just manhandled. They're not a good team. Oklahoma's not good. Kansas State is average. Baylor's a little bit above. But tell me who's good in this conference. So you go 8-4 with this schedule. That doesn't mean you improved. It just means you beat shitty teams, folks. So, again, I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm off the Strong wagon. I'm on the University of Texas wagon, and that's the way it's going to be. And if next year, 2 years, 3 years, he wins the national championship, I will gladly tweet out, I was wrong. I'll say it over and over, I was wrong. But I'm not holding my breath. I think I'm going to be good because, again, the data tells me he would be the only coach with his start to do it. The data also says most coaches win a national championship in year 3, 4, 5. All the championship coaches do it. And I'm actually going to – I've got that data saved right here, so if y'all bear with me, I'm actually going to show it, and I'm going to show you exactly what it is. Year 2, Bob Stoops, Barry Switzer, Gene Chizik, Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel. third year, Nick Saban, Gene Stallings, Lou Holtz, Dan Devine, Urban Meyer, Ohio State, Barry Switzer, Pete Carroll, Lloyd Carr, Les Miles, Dennis Erickson, John Robinson. Won it in their fourth year, Pete Carroll, Urban Meyer, Florida, Jimbo Fisher, Jimmy Johnson, Danny Ford, Nick Saban. So does anybody think Texas is winning a national championship this year or next year? No. Well, again, the data says the elitist coaches do it in their first 4 years. So, again, he's going to have to do something. Now, Matt Brown did get one in year eight. Yeah, there are some coaches, and they got it in year eight. So, you know, it does happen. But, again, Matt Brown wasn't elite of the elitist. Now, and if he wins one in 08 and 09, yeah, we put him up there. He fell a little short. Matt was close to being elite from about 2001 to 2009 when he went 70-something in 9. I mean, he was as close to his league, but I would still not put him in the Nick Saban, even Pete Carroll, Urban Meyer conversation. I think he's a right up underneath that. So, again, the data just tells me that that we're not going to go there. So people say, what coach do you want to bring in? You know, I think it's too early, but I could tell you what right now, I can name a bunch of coaches that could do a better job than what we're getting right now. We could get Peterson from Washington. Obviously, the hot name is Herman. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can go to every message board and put my name on there, and I have literally called everybody out for riding on the Herman train and this and that and whatever, because it was sickening last year when we knew he wasn't going to get fired. I was all for giving Strong this third year. I mean, my God, what is he, 17-1, 18-1 now? I mean, the data doesn't lie there. I mean, they'll probably lose to Louisville. He doesn't have the two. So he's probably going to go 11-1. They'll probably win their bowl game. He's going to go 12-1 2 years in a row. I mean, be 24-2 or whatever, back-to-back years. I mean, that I don't care where you're coaching, that's impressive. I've talked to some high school coaches that I respect. They have the utmost respect for Herman. They say, I mean, he's a member of Mensa. They just don't let people in the Mensa. So, obviously, he's a high thinker. He's an attention to detail. And if you just watch U of H play, they are well coached. They don't make the boneheaded mistakes like we're making. If Herman's the guy, in my opinion, now this is strictly my opinion with no sources, no insider BS. This is what I think is probably going to happen. If we lose to OU and we lose a couple more games, I'm still of the belief Texas does not fire coaches in season. And now, with that said, if we get blown out this week and we have another stinker, it could either get, I mean, they could just say it's enough and move on. I think that's probably about 30% chance of having them, maybe even less. So let's just say Strong makes the year, but it comes pretty obviously late October, early November, after TCU, that it's going to be all over. He's probably fired that Sunday or Saturday after the TCU game, the Thanksgiving game, which is on Friday this year. My opinion, I think probably within a day or two or probably a week of that, my gut feel Herman will be announced the coach. I mean, if Texas is going to move on this thing, back channel communication is already going to be done. Now, other people who claim to be insiders on the U of H side, on the Texas side, they have been pretty outspoken and adamant that Texas is Herman's dream job, and if offered and he's contacted, that he'll accept it. They'll get the contract negotiated. So what I'm saying here is, in my opinion, I think a back channel deal will be done. As soon as it's over, the contract is probably going to be signed, sitting in his agent's safe somewhere. And as soon as it's over, it'll be faxed back into Texas, and there'll be an announcement. I really believe that's how this thing is going to shake out, unless Strong gets it turned around. But I think as soon as it starts to show that he's not going to get it turned around and he's not going to return, I think the communication gets hot and heavy with Herman. A deal is wrapped up. And it's going to be like a domino, because you got to get Herman in place, in late November, early December to get recruiting back on. But recruiting is going to be a bloodbath right now. It's not going to be pretty until this thing is settled. And I'm actually okay with taking a step back and maybe end up with the 12th, 13th, 14th ranked class. It's a small class anyway. We can only take 18, 19, 20 kids, maybe 22. So it's small anyway. But I still think we'll get some elite talent because Herman is well thought of around the state. I can assure you. And some of these big-time kids are going to come on board. What you'll see then in the 2018 class with Herman, you'll probably have a top two or three class. There's no doubt in my mind. So that's really my thoughts on Herman. I really don't think you can go wrong by hiring Tom Herman. Now, if some reason that doesn't go awry, I think there's a lot of good, other good choices. I'm not going to go in those tonight because it really doesn't matter this far out, but I will put together a list of the other four or five viable options in my opinion. So I think the best advice I would give Longhorn fans, and I'm really talking to myself at this point, is all we can do is show up, root for our team, hope that we win, because I will never root for my team to lose just so a coach could get fired. It's going to run its course. I'm going to scream. I'm going to be pissed off. And if we lose, Strong's going to be gone. If we win, he's going to get 2017, and then we'll reboot and see what that holds. Now, I will still show up in 2017. I'm just of the belief that we're going to be having these conversations every year until the administration does finally pull the plug, because I'm just not convinced Strong is going to get us in the playoffs or to an elite status. I just don't see it. So that's really my take. Big game this week against OU. I think our secondary is going to get lit up. I know OU has got some injuries, as Alan has said. I mean, we had 2 weeks to fix the defense before Oklahoma State, and that didn't really seem to do much. So here we are with only, you know, 4 or 5 days to prepare. It's a rivalry game. I think the kids are going to come out pumped up, but at the end of the day, I just don't think we're going to be in a position to make plays. I think we're going to give up some big plays. I think it's going to play early, but it's going to play pretty tight. And then I look for mid to late third quarter OU to open it up by about 2-touchdown lead. And then they'll probably get a late touchdown. You know, it'll probably be hovering around that 38-30. And then they're going to get a couple late touchdowns, and I really think it's going to end up around 52-30. Hope I'm wrong. I'd love to come in here next week and say that we beat OU sucks. Nobody wants to lose to them sorry suckers. So that's the way I see it shaping out. Everybody heading out to the state fair, have fun, eat lots of fried food, turkey legs, drink a lot of beer. You want to say hi to me, I'll be in the Coca-Cola food court early at the same picnic table. Probably about 30 minutes in, I'll be on top of the picnic table leading the whole food court in Texas Fight with my good buddy Matt. People are always saying, "Where's Matt?" Well, I guess I don't know if he's going to be back or not. He's so frustrated right now. He said he doesn't even want to talk about it anymore. He just wants to talk and to stop and wants us to show up and play football and get good. He is extremely, extremely frustrated. So he just doesn't even want to be on the podcast right now. And so I'm honoring that wish, and I'm going to run solo for a while. I'll probably have some guest co-hosts on to finish out the year, because I'm probably going to have some people, because I still think some more blowouts are coming. So I'm probably going to need some people to talk me off the ledge and until we get some resolution on this on the coaching job. So with that said, I'll see everybody next Wednesday, 8 o'clock. Let's beat OU. OU sucks. Excuse me. I was trying to take a sip of water. Always remember, the eyes of Texas are upon you. Hook 'em horns, and let's just hope we hear a lot of this Saturday.